Nathaniel Redka is from Stevensburg, Virginia, and is currently a junior in the Biblical Counseling major with a concentration in youth and family. Nathaniel was led to the Lord as a child by his parents in their home and will serve this summer at Camp Red Arrow, where his father serves as the camp director. Nathaniel's home church is Mount Tabor Baptist, and this summer, in addition to his camp ministry, he will also conduct a church internship with the Waynesburg Bible Chapel. Nathaniel has served as an RA and class president and will serve as the head resident of the men's dorm next year. He also plans to pursue camp ministry after graduating from ABC. Nathaniel, we look forward to hearing from you as you share with us the Word of God. God bless you.
Well, good morning. Honored to have this privilege to have this opportunity to speak with you today. So as he said, we'll be in Joshua 1:1-9 today. So I want to start with asking you guys a question. Have you ever been asked to do a task that you felt unready to do, unprepared? Maybe you didn't think you were skilled enough in a certain area, or maybe there was something about it that scared you about that task. In my own life, there's a great illustration of that. Last spring, as I was preparing for summer, trying to figure out what my plans were, my father asked me if I would like to be his program director at camp. The camp mentioned in my intro. And I wasn't really sure how I felt about that. It was kind of an intimidating position. And I ended up telling him that I didn't think I was ready for that. For one, I didn't think I had the preparation, the training to do that kind of position, to serve in that kind of position. But I also am scared of public speaking. And so speaking in front of a bunch of campers kind of was a scary idea. So the plan, my dad and I made a compromise. I would go there and serve with him this summer at camp, last summer. And I would serve as a counselor, but I would also on the side be helping him prepare activities. I helped him prepare the schedule as the summer was leading up. And then whenever games would come up, I would help lead the games and other activities like that. So kind of a halfway point. But as we got to our first week of camp, as was mentioned in my little bio, my father's the camp director. So he was really swamped with his responsibilities as camp director. And so he wasn't able to do both program director and camp director at the same time. And so he handed the reins over to me for the first morning we had campers. And I kind of took over then. And it was clear to see that his busyness was not going to stop. He was going to be continuously bombarded with responsibilities. So I went to him and I said I'd be willing to step into that role for the summer, even though it scared me, but I knew that God had put me there for that reason, that purpose. And as I went through the summer, I could see just how God provided for me and was able to give me courage and strengthen me and give me the energy I needed, because I also served as a camp counselor as well, which two busy positions, but it was really awesome to see God, just how he had prepared me for that job and had really provided for me while I did it. So in the text today in Joshua 1, we actually will see a very similar story with Joshua, except for a much larger scale. Joshua was asked to be was told to be the new leader of Israel after Moses. Now, of course, we're all Bible college students, and we know that Moses did some pretty amazing things with God. God did many amazing things through him. And Joshua had seen all that, and the intimidation of having to follow that would be quite extreme, and the fact that he was leading millions of people as they were about to go in and conquer a land where the people were seemingly a lot stronger than them, a lot larger in number, just a lot to take on at one time. And so I just want to get through the text and kind of how God provided for Joshua to do that job. So I'm just going to go ahead and start by reading the text. I'll read the whole thing, and then we'll get into it. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity I have just to bring your word to these people. I pray that they would just be encouraged by the words that you give me to say. I pray that you would just keep me out of your way and just use me in whatever way you want and speak through me clearly. And I pray that it would just be just an encouragement to my fellow students and the staff as well. I pray all things in your name. Amen. So, as I said, Joshua transitioning into this new leadership position was quite the intimidating task. And the Bible doesn't directly say that he was afraid, but the fact that God said three times, be strong and courageous, and the situation seems like it would imply that he probably wasn't super sure about what was going on. But I want to show you through the passage in three different sections. I want to show you Joshua's preparation for service, his promises for service, and his power for service. So I'm going to start with Joshua's preparation for service in verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to reread those again. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. If you look back to Deuteronomy chapter 34, which I will not go to for today's sake, but it shows the death of Moses. And before he died, he passed the leadership to Joshua, and then he left. But Joshua's being chosen as the new leader wasn't just a random selection out of a lottery, like picking out a random number. He had been specifically prepared for this moment. If you look back at verse 1, it said that he was Moses' minister. He had been alongside Moses during, you guys know the story of Moses and all the amazing miracles God did through him. He provided for Israel through the plagues, through the crossing of the Red Sea, by providing them water and food as they were in the desert, and just many other ways, and provided the law. That's extremely important. God gave his words to the people, and Joshua was there for that. He got to see that and firsthand experience. He even went up on Mount Sinai with Moses when he got the Ten Commandments. That's a really huge testimony. He was able to be there to see all of that. So God had really prepared him for this moment. It wasn't just some random guy who had never had any experience in leadership. He had also been, during that time, as he served as Moses' servant, had been asked to lead the Israelite army against the Amalekites when they were attacked in the desert. And he had also been one of the 12 spies that was sent into the land to check it out. So he had, as I said, had experience and had seen things and had the preparation he needed to do this job. But that's not even just his physical preparation wasn't the most important thing, though. In the second section, which is verses 3 through 6, we will see Joshua's promises for service. God did not leave Joshua just in his own ability or his own training. He gave him promises that would help sustain him through this time. I'm not going to reread all those verses, but it'll go in verses 3 and 4. You can see just the outline of the land that God was promising. This wasn't the first time he had promised it, but it was a reiteration of a promise he had made to Abraham hundreds of years before. And so he was just reconfirming that promise he had already made. And that that Joshua, as he was going into the land, wasn't just going to fail. He was promised that he was going to succeed in it. But there was something that was even more impactful than even just the promise, the land that he promised. In verse 5, it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Imagine how encouraging that would have been to Joshua. The God of the universe, the creator who had done all those miracles, amazing things in the wilderness, was now promising to be with him and to never forsake him. And the part that I think would be the most encouraging to him is, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. As I said before, he had seen all these amazing things that his master Moses had gone through and the Lord had done through him. And now he could see that God was promising to do this, was promising to be with him just as he was with Moses. Moses was called a friend of God. One of the closest relationships with God of any person who ever lived, and Joshua was promised to get to experience some level of that, and that's an amazing promise. In verse 6, we see the first iteration of be strong and of a good courage. There are three different times where it says that through the text, as I said before, and that is a reiteration that he needed to stand strong, not just in his own strength, but in God and what God was providing for him. The source of Joshua's strength, once again, was not himself, but it was God. And God provided his strength through some specific media and through specific things. In verses 7 through 9, I'll reread those as well. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I'll read verse 9 again in a minute. But there's two different things that God gave him specifically and challenged him with to help him sustain through this. He had already given him the preparation, the physical preparation, and then he had also given him the promises to encourage him. And now he was giving him two specific commands. And the first one is that he needed to obey the law. As I mentioned before, he had been there with Moses whenever he was given the law. And he may have even been one of the ones that helped describe it. We don't know. It doesn't say that. But he had been there. He got to see God give this new revelation to Moses. And this incredible thing to see that. And all on Mount Sinai, just the thunderings in the presence of the Lord. Just that would have been such an empowering thing. But now he had access to the law. He had it with him. He was the leader of Israel. I don't know how many copies there were at that point, but at least one. And so he had at least that one copy because he was the leader of their country. And so now he needed to not just have this law, but he needed to be applying it to his life by reading and meditating on it. Meditation is, I know we think of like the Eastern culture, it's very much like people sit and emptying their minds and kind of a relaxation thing, and it doesn't seem like it has much substance to it. A lot of people rely on it, they think that it helps them a lot. But meditation here is not the same thing. It's not emptying your mind, but instead it's filling your mind with the right things. Joshua was told to fill his mind with the Word of God, and not just to read it, not just to study it, but to continuously meditate on it day and night. As believers, that's something very important for us to be doing. We have to be reading God's word, studying it, but most importantly, we need to be meditating on it so we can apply it. If you don't know something, if you don't know how to do something, you won't know. Whenever it comes time to do that thing, you won't be able to know. You need to know what God has told you to do and how he has told you to do it. And if you don't know God's word, then you can't know that. So an illustration from my own personal life about meditation that was very interesting to me, and kind of I was reading and it pointed out a similar illustration that kind of put this in my mind. But this illustration of chewing gum. Now, I don't know how many of you have noticed this, but I chew gum a lot, all day, for hours usually. Sometimes I chew on the same piece of gum for half the day. There's multiple reasons why I do it, and there's lots of reasons I love gum, and if you want to ask me later, I can tell you how much I love gum, but I'm going to give you a couple reasons why. First, my favorite flavor is Polar Ice. A couple years ago, my mom bought it for me, and I don't really huge into mint usually, but it's really good, and it also helps my breath smell better, especially when I don't always have the best breath. So, there's a couple different benefits that chewing gum gives me that is why I like it so much. First of all, as I said, it tastes very good. It is an appealing taste to me, and I enjoy it, so that's one thing. It's good to get, there's a lot of other things I could eat or drink, whatever, but putting a piece of gum and just have some flavoring there is just a good thing. And second thing is, I already mentioned, it fights bad breath. That is something that is pretty important. You know, I don't want to offend any of you people as I'm passing you in classes or whatever. So I want to have my breath be smelling good. But it also, it helps me focus. If I'm falling asleep in class, I will often chew a piece of gum. Or sometimes if I'm studying at night, I will grind my teeth. I don't know why I do that. But so I chew gum so I don't do that, because that's really not good for your teeth. So it helps me. It's enjoyable, but it also helps me in multiple ways. But meditating on God's word has a few similarities with that. First of all, as I said, gum tastes good, and God's word should be appealing to us. as we're meditating on it constantly, it should be enjoyable for us. We shouldn't just do it as a chore. It should be something that actually is something we find enjoyment in meditating on God. It's God's words to us, promises, sweet, wonderful things that he's told us. And if that's not good enough for you, then that's really sad, because God's word is so full of so many wonderful things. Different problems that have come up in my life, having scripture memorized, it's come to my mind and it's helped me through that. Which means to the second thing, as gum helps you fight breath, meditating on God's word helps you fight sin. Psalm 119, 9 through 11, tells about how can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word I hid my heart that I might not sin against you. I skipped a few little phrases in there. But that's the gist of that passage, is saying that meditating on God's word and having it stored in your mind allows us to obey God, because we know what God has said for us to do. And when we're tempted to sin, we can immediately have the reminder, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. God has specifically given me this task for this reason, and I need to be doing that. And the third thing with gum, as it helps me focus in classes and stay awake and aware, if we're meditating on God's word, it puts our mind on the right kinds of things. Philippians 4 has a passage about meditating, having your mind set on the right kinds of things, having the right kind of thinking. If you're always thinking negative thoughts, if you're always thinking sinful things, it's going to lead to you acting out in that way, and it's going to pull you down greatly, and it's going to hinder your ministry. But meditating on God's word, the truth, the wonderful truths of it, will allow you to have a better mindset that will set you where you need to be. When you face temptation, or when you're struggling with sadness or depression, or if you're angry at somebody, God's word can redirect you to where your attitude should be in loving other people and loving God first of all. So meditating on God's word has a great impact on you. And so that was really, I just really was encouraged by that, just gum, every time I put a piece of gum, and now I have that continual reminder that I should be meditating on God's word as well, not just chewing gum. But the next thing that God told Joshua to do was to trust in the Lord. As I said at the beginning and multiple times here, there's three times the phrase, be strong and courageous, has come up in this passage. When I graduated, a lady who I've known for my whole life, she gave me a little plaque that says, be bold, be brave, be courageous. And I set it up on my desk, and I've had it up there all 3 years, but it's been there so long that I don't really like think about it very much. But as the other day, I was sitting in my room, I looked at it, and I just thought, wow, it's so perfect for the timing here as I'm preparing for this sermon and just thinking that I need to be bold and brave and courageous in speaking God's word and this emphasis of this passage. So that's really encouraging to me, but also for Joshua. He was told that, one, he needed to be following God's law. He needed to not be going disobeying God in any way. It said not to be turning from the right hand to the left. But he's also supposed to take what he couldn't handle. You know, we can obey God's word. We have some things that we have control over. But there are some things that are completely out of our control. You know, Joshua, he could go in and he could fight the Canaanites, but he could not, in his own power, overwhelm everyone. He had not everything was in his control. And the people of Israel, like, he led the charge, but he couldn't control every individual soldier and making them do what they do. He had to trust that God had his hand over the whole situation and could lead him into doing the right things and could lead him into defeating the Canaanites and conquering the land like God had promised them. He had to trust that the Lord was going to give him the strength to do it. As I said, very intimidating task. He was going in, and they had walled cities and giants, actual giants, that he was going to have to be going against, and they were most likely greatly outnumbered. There were probably several million Jews, but who knows how many Canaanites were there. And he had to look at that and say, God is strong enough to give me the strength and the courage to do the task he has set for me to do. And that's really critically important for Joshua, but it's also critically important for us. So I kind of want to go back over the three kind of areas that Joshua was challenged, or three specific parts of the message, the passage here, and kind of see where it applies to us specifically. I've given some application here throughout, but I kind of want to just go over it again. So in verses 1 and 2, we saw how Joshua was prepared for ministry. As we're here at school, he prepared for service, which is for us is prepared for ministry. We're here at a Bible college. I know not everybody here will go into full-time ministry. Not everybody's called to full-time ministry, but even if you're not, you are called to some form of ministry. You are called as a believer to serve God and to serve others. So as you are looking at the service, there may be things up ahead that may be intimidating to you. You may not think that you'll be able to do it. even as I was a freshman looking ahead at junior and senior year, I was very intimidated with what was coming ahead. And now that I'm here, I've seen how God has provided for me and prepared me to face the bigger challenges that come along that. And like as I said last summer when I had to step in and be the program director, I didn't feel ready for that, but God had prepared me for it. I've been in camp my whole life, and just being able to see how camp worked allowed me to have the experience to be able to work to some extent, and I could have obviously done better with more training, but being able to do anything, just God had prepared me for that, which was great. And Moses had discipled, not the same way we discipled, doesn't necessarily, because it's a little different, but he had trained Joshua, and Joshua had been there with him and learned under him and had been prepared for this moment. And he had already had some experience in leadership, being one of the 12, two of the 12 that spoke that God was good enough, God was going to be great enough to help them defeat. They could do it with God. He wasn't afraid of the Canaanites. And then also being the one who led the charge against the Amalekites was another chance he had to work and be a leader. And then we saw in verses 3 through 6 that God made some promises to him. He made promises that they were going to conquer the land, that the land had been promised to them for many years. They were going to get it. Their labors, their many years of wandering through the journeys would not be in vain. They would end up where they were meant to be, and they would be able to conquer the land, no matter how weak they may have felt. But he also promised his presence. And that is such an encouraging thing. As for us today, God has promised his presence. If you're a believer, which I do believe at least the majority of you are here, you have God's presence with you always. And God is everywhere anyways, but we specifically have the Holy Spirit in us to enable us to do what he has called us to do. We're not alone. There's times where you will feel alone, especially as going to ministry. There'll be times where people won't treat you the way you treat them. You might invest yourself fully, pour yourself out to people, and they won't do anything back. They will just leave you. And Jesus had that. All his disciples he had invested in for years and had really just cared for them in the best way he could. He's God. He loved them better than any human being could ever love them and serve them. And yet they left him, and he was alone. But obviously, that was the plan, and God had a purpose for that, and that was all, taken care of. But for us, when we face those times where we feel alone, we are promised that God is with us. God's presence is with us. And also, he's promised us many other things. If you look to our future, we're promised a future home in heaven, which is an encouraging thing to never get discouraged. Our class verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'm not going to quote the whole verse, but it basically says that we can be steadfast in service because we have this blessed promise of that it won't be in vain. It's for a higher, better purpose. And that's what we have the promise as believers. The work we do for God will not be wasted. It will be used for something. So we have the promise of God's presence, and we also have the promise of the fact that our service will not be in vain. And then verses 7 through 9, we saw more of a challenge for us as believers. One, we need to be meditating on God's word continuously. It can be very easy at Bible college to think that just reading some passages for a class or just studying in the class is enough. But if you're not truly meditating on God's word and making application to your life, God's word is not having the effect on you that it should have. As I said, it's God's words to you. That is earth-shattering. The creator of the universe, who controls everything and is completely sovereign over all of our lives and over everything, has chosen to give us his word and speak to us. That's something that we should not take for granted. That's not something we should overlook. And I'm challenging myself on that, because I've often looked at scripture as I got to read it today to check off a box. That's not the right attitude. God's word can really change your life. And so we should be continuously meditating on God's word and allowing it to impact us. And also he said to trust in me. Trust in God is what he was saying. The Lord told him to be strong and of good courage, not because of his own ability, but because of God. God has gifted each of you in different ways. We all have different talents and everything. My talents are not going to be the same as yours, but that doesn't really matter in light of God has a purpose for all of us, but he also can go beyond any skill we have. Anything you may feel like you may not be able to do, if God specifically wants you to do that, he will empower you to do it. He'll give you what you need to do it. He promises. That's another promise of God. He will enable us to please him. And he's given us all we need in his word to glorify him with our lives. And that's really impactful. But we need to be trusting the Lord whenever we're walking into a new task. Once again, going back to the very beginning where I asked you the question, if you have ever had a task that you felt intimidated to do, even now, if you're looking ahead, if you have a task, seniors, you'll be graduating, and who knows where you'll go. Some of you will go into ministry now. Some of you will go into the secular field and get a job. Some of you are not sure right now. Some of you freshmen or sophomores may not be planning on coming back. If you're a one-year or two-year student, you're trying to figure that out. Some people are going to get married soon. Some people are looking at new job or ministry opportunities, even in their normal school years, not with leaving. All those things, if whatever task God has given you to do, you need to be strong and courageous in Him, trusting Him to provide what you need. You may not feel ready to do the job He's given you, but if it's really what He's called you to do, He will get you through it. He'll give you the strength you need. Maybe not excess strength. He doesn't promise to give us everything we want, but He promises to give us what we need to serve Him. And that's a blessed promise that we have. So I encourage you, as you look forward to the future and see what kind of challenges will come up, because there will be challenges. We are promised hardships in our lives. How will you face those challenges? Will you face them timidly? Will you go back and not do what God has called you to do because you're too afraid or because you don't think you're ready for it? Or will you dive in and do what God has called you to do because you know that He will enable you to do it? So I encourage you, once again, go through the three things. So we saw Joshua's preparation for service. We saw his promises that enabled him to do service, and then we also saw his the provision of the power that he needed to do the work that he was given. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for just the blessed hope that you have given us everything we need to serve you. No matter what we face in our lives, no matter what you've called us to do, you will enable us to do exactly what that is. I pray that you'd help all the students here and the staff and everybody else, that they would just be encouraged by this passage, and that they would, next time they're faced with something like that, that they would find their strength in you. Help the student body here just to be diligent studiers of your word, not just in class, but just to be continuously meditating and growing in you so that they are able to be better servants for you. Father, thanks again for this encouragement this passage has been to me, and I pray that it is encouragement in all the people here. In your name, amen.